upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yo, 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 what is good, Winning Shot family, man? I am so excited to get into this episode today. Listen, if you checked our last episode out, you know that we covered all things related to the Eastern Conference first round of the playoffs. This playoff has been amazing. We've had some exciting matchups and even some upsets. And some of those upsets we're going to be talking about today, because today we're going to focus strictly on the Western Conference first round. I know that the Eastern Conference has started the second round, but we wanted to jump in and give y'all what y'all are waiting for with the Western Conference content. So we got a lot of exciting matchups. So I'm going to get started with you, Hundo. Like, how are you feeling about the Western Conference as a whole in terms of the playoffs in this first round? Any surprises, anything you want to talk about first?
We got to talk about that Timberwolves series, of course. Ant-Man showing up. Timberwolves, deep team. Lakers go down. Bron dropped off in the first round. No, we're going to be talking about that. Luka. So that was probably the most, surprising of the series. Out west, like, the boys won 4-1, bro. Like, they pretty much dominated, bro. Like, it wasn't close, bro. So we definitely gonna talk about that one. And then that Rockets and Warriors series, man. Entertaining. Yeah. And Clippers and Nuggets. Clippers definitely folded, in my opinion. They had a couple of games that they should have won, that they ended up losing. But yeah, it's gonna be an interesting offseason for a lot of these teams, man.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like in terms of conferences, this conference had the most interesting first round matchups and the interesting games. But before we get into like the interesting ones, let's go ahead and talk about the sweep. So the Thunders swept the Grizzlies 4-0. And I know you said at the beginning that you preferred this matchup because you had young talent versus young talent. And guess what? They ended with a sweep. And I feel like Taylor Jenkins was probably sitting with a beer in his basement watching this game, because he was like, y'all thought y'all could win without me. Y'all thought this was going to propel y'all to the finals. Look, y'all just got swept. Now, obviously, Ja got hurt, but I don't think Ja being injured did anything related to them getting, you know, bounced, because he talking about, oh, you know, I had them figured out. Ja was already 3-0. It was like, come on. There was nothing you could do to get back from 3-0. So tell me how you felt about this game, man, and what is your thoughts about the Thunder? We'll get to the Grizzlies later on about what their offseason looks like.
Yeah, like you said, man, coming into this, and like you mentioned just now, I preferred this matchup. Like, seeing the Grizzlies versus the Thunder, man, I thought it was going to be entertaining, and boy, game one, they lost by a doggone 50. I said, well, it's not going to be entertaining at all. I see how this is going. So, definitely not what I expected. I didn't expect them to get swept, man. I thought Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Bane, Scottie Pippen Jr., Ja, I thought they was going to put up a fight, and they laid down. They did not put up a fight. Them boys laid down, man. So, shout out to the Thunder, man. The top team in the West. They definitely showed it in the first round. Like, it's levels to this, bruh. So, shout out to the Thunder, man.
So I know those were sweet, but was there anything in this series that concerned you about the Thunder moving forward?
I think, and you mentioned this in the last, and when we were talking about it coming into the first round, you wanted to see how they would look if SGA struggled, right? And we saw several players step up throughout that series. So they're pretty talented, pretty deep. Wiggins coming off the bench was big. Who else they had? Chet out there, of course. I'm blanking on buddy name. Jalen Williams out there as well. So them boys showed up, man. They're a deep, talented squad. I don't really have much concern about them moving forward. They pretty much answered that question of other people showing up outside of SGA. So I think that was the biggest question. So they answered that in the first round.
Yeah, I agree. I think this series, what it showed me more is that the other two can step up. And when I say that, it's like Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams. Because, you know, they're in the beginning, like Shea wasn't having that, you know, these great games like he used to in the regular season. And so I think championship DNA is built. When your best player is not having the best game, can other people step up? There was one game in particular where, you know, Chet didn't have like many points in the first half, and then he went off for like 23 in the second half. And I think, like, if he can get going, that team gets real scary, because now you have to consider Chet can also shoot the three and he can drive to the lane. He's going to be a mismatch on any four that you, you know, put against him. And, you know, the question is, like, Jalen Williams. Like, Jalen Williams can get you a consistent 20. I think they can – if all of them can get you 20, I think they can beat anybody in the West. But the question is, will they step up in the biggest moments? And we'll see that next with, you know, Jokic and them boys. But I guess before we move on, like, the Grizzlies – we talked briefly in a couple podcasts ago about just the direction they need to go, but it seemed like, man, those first couple games, those boys were lethargic. It was like they were just out there just to be out there. It felt like rec league. And, you know, the question I got for you, so we already made the move with Taylor Jenkins, and they announced today that their assistant coach is going to be taking over. So what do you do in the offseason? Do you run it back with the same squad? Do you continue to build around Ja? Do you make a drastic move to get over the hump next week?
I think they have a solid core for real. Like, when you look at it across the board, you got Edie, you got Jaren Jackson Jr., you got Bane, you got Scottie Pippen Jr., who stepped up and emerged into a starting caliber player in this league. You got Ja. So you got the pieces. They pretty much already paid everybody, right? Outside of Jaren Jackson.
Yeah.
So, I mean, They have solid pieces. I mean, the main thing really for them is health. Like, the past couple of seasons has been up and down. Don't know who going to play. Ja being suspended or hurt. So, hopefully they can stay healthy. I would like to see them running back. But as we mentioned before, like, that Taylor Jenkins firing might be the reason why they slipped up in the late part of the season. So, is this assistant coach that's taken over the right person to lead them? We gonna see. Only time will tell. So I think that's the bigger concern. I think they have some of the better pieces on their roster to compete in the Western Conference, but it's gonna come down to health and if that coach can lead them and direct them in the right direction.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I don't know when Ja's contract is up. But I think for him and Jaren Jackson, there's going to be a lot of evaluation in this offseason to see if they give him a second contract, because, you know, that's going to be way more. And like you said, with Edie, I think Edie showed some, you know, he showed some great performances this season where he's getting like 20 and 20. And it's like, okay, if he can be consistent on the offensive end, like, I think his problem at Purdue is like he wasn't able to finish consistently on the offensive end. I think he needs to dominate a little bit more. But if he can be that star, maybe not even like a star, maybe a fringe all-star, where he can get you, you know, some Jonas Valanciunas numbers or some Jusuf Nurkić, where they can rely on him, I would run him back, like you said. Like, I think their core is there, and I think him emerging as a star gives you a threat on the inside that, you know, really opens up everything. And Desmond Bane can shoot. You know Jaren Jackson wants to shoot the three, and I think if Ja at least develops a decent jump shot and they can run pick and roll, I think that will open the offense more. And it seemed like, from what I was reading, that the guy that they hired was an international guy, and they believe in more fluid offense. And I think Ja has to kind of, I won't say it's like the same situation, but kind of like Jalen Brunson, get the ball out of your hands, right? Function more within the offense and let your game flow like that. And I think they would be definitely a contender in the West. But if they get Ja dominant, I don't think they'll have enough to win, you know, long term.
And I think they're kind of like, and you mentioned it just now, Jalen Brunson, but like, even when you look at like the Knicks roster, right? And you look at the Grizzlies roster, like the starters are intact. You got to build that bench. So yeah, finding the right pieces to come off the bench to contribute, that can fill those holes and fill those gaps for them is going to be big, whether that's defensively, shooting, facilitating, rebounding, whatever role you're good at, bring that person in to help them fill that role of whatever the team needs. Yeah. I think that's going to be big as well.
Yeah, that's real. It's going to be interesting, man. I think Grizzlies is one of those franchises where it's like, man, they have a ton of potential. They just can't ever put it together. Like you said, with the injuries, it's like, can we have one season where everybody's healthy so we can just evaluate and see what we got going on? But I think
And look at it. Like, when they were healthy, they were what? The 2 seed in the West. So it's like, that's pretty much the same team that the core of that team is still there. So it's like, get healthy, stay on the court, let's see what we got.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's move to the next series with the Nuggets and Clippers. So we saw, you know, last night, I believe, no, 2 nights ago, Game 7, and it seemed like for the Nuggets, I mean, for the Clippers, they thought it was Game 1. Like, it seemed like after the third quarter, it was over. Nuggets came out to play. Definitely, it's probably the best matchup in this series. Nuggets won 120 to 101 to win the series. How are you feeling about this series altogether and any takeaways from it?
Yeah, this was very entertaining. Several games went down to the wire. That buzzer-beating dunk by Aaron Gordon was – that was tough.
Yeah.
That was tough. Like, I know the Clippers went in the locker room and they were sick. I know they were sick in the locker room. But like I said earlier, man, like, they had several games where they should have won. Like, you look back at it, one possession games that they lost. And like you mentioned, Game 7, they came and got punched in the mouth. Like, they were not ready at all. Like, they didn't look ready. They looked like they wanted to be out there. Like, it didn't look good, Game 7.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. If it ended today, what's James Harden's legacy?
I think he's a top 5 shooting guard all time. I think he's a top 5 shooting guard all time. He's in that 3 to 5 range, 4 to 5 maybe. I mean, you look at it, Jordan, Kobe. You want to put D-Wade at 3? Cool. Harden 4 or 5 maybe. I think he's a top 5 shooting guard. I mean, his ability, I mean, he's basically redefined his career, bro. Like, he has experienced all levels of the NBA, bro. Like, from six man coming off the bench to having his own team running the show to trying to be a part of a big three and it not working to becoming a point guard, essentially, bro. Like, this man's a true point guard, bro. Like, his last 2 stops, like, he's shown that he could be a true point guard, bro. Like, he can score and he can facilitate at a very high level.
Yeah. But see, my thing is, like, and we go back to the first episode. This was my fear with the Clippers. I knew if Kawhi didn't show up, then James Harden's going to have to show up. If James Harden didn't show up, then Kawhi's going to have to show up. And I feel game two, I think it was maybe game two or game three, when Kawhi was playing like he was top three in the world. Like, that's the Kawhi I expect every game. And even in game seven, he came to play. He was out here communicating, trying to produce, being aggressive. And I was like, where's Harden? Like, and I knew this was going to happen. If it wasn't game six, it was going to be game seven. And so the reason why I asked is because we've seen this Harden before at Houston. We've low-key, we haven't seen it in Brooklyn because I know that everybody was hurt, so we didn't get an accurate evaluation. But it's like in these crucial moments, it seems like James is out of it. And it pissed me off, honestly, seeing them boys down and Ty Lue pulling them. Because I'm like, y'all just sitting in the third quarter like, dang, I know the game's over for y'all, but it's like, they didn't even look like they wanted to compete. They were sitting like they had another game, you know, in 2 days, and they were just getting ready to pull the horses on. I'm like, this is game seven. That's crazy. No emotion. Everybody just watching the game like it was front row seats. I'm like, man, I just don't necessarily believe that James and Kawhi have the right personality to take this team over the hump. This is why I don't think you can run it bad. But if James picks up his player option, I don't know if you can move him. So, and honestly, you know, you can't even say that they were wrong for the PG trade or, the, you know, not signing PG to that deal, because now you look at it, it's like, all right, well, they didn't foresee him getting injured. But it's like, what do? If you're the Clippers, because there's not much hope coming back, because Ben Simmons, like, you got to get rid of him. Chris Dunn wasn't a good fit with him. I think maybe you keep Bogdanovich, definitely keep Zubac, but you can't run it back as is and expect to be a championship contender, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, and to your point, like, what is the next steps for them? Because Kawhi's getting older. We saw him come back from injury, but he was balling when he came back from injury. James Harden, if you're not a believer in James Harden in the big moments, cool. You got every right to do that. But it's like, if you get rid of him, what are you hoping to get? Like, if you trade him, what are you hoping to get? Because I doubt his trade value is that high to where you can get a significant star, because he's old. He's an older player. Like, you're just not going to get much of anything, in my opinion, for older veteran James Harden. So it's like, you low-key have to run it back, but you also have to find those pieces to fit around. So Zubac, he showed that he could play at a very high level throughout the season, throughout even matching up with Jokic this series. He held his own. If Kawhi can stay healthy, maybe that puts them in a better situation seeding-wise, right? Maybe you don't have to play Denver in the first round. Maybe you are a little bit higher and you got a better matchup in the first round. You can get out the first round. And like I sent it to you, this is what? Your third or fourth straight year getting dropped off in the first round? So it's like, it's not. I don't think it's necessarily a James Harden not showing up. Maybe it's just the other pieces around him as well. Like, we got to factor that into it as well. Is Ty Lue doing the best job coaching in these moments? Maybe not. I don't know. Like, we got to look at him too.
Yeah. You're right, bro. I can't even argue with that one. I mean, the thing is, James Harden is just so dynamic player.
Hold on, brother. You cut out. But, yeah, James Harden is dynamic, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, he's a great facilitator. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's just so dynamic. Like, you don't want to get rid of him. And it's like, because you know in the regular season, he'll get you the production you need to get to the playoffs. And, like, you're right. I don't know what you'll get for James Harden now, but it's like, you know, if you're in a big game, he's not going to come to play. We've seen that countless time and time again. And then you pair him with Kawhi, who, you know, Kawhi is a question mark. We don't know what Kawhi we're getting in any game. So I just don't know. It's just like, this is always, as long as they keep this roster, this is always going to be the biggest question mark team of the NBA. It's like,
So that's my thing, though. Like, if we know, and I'm sure their front office and their coaches, or whether they want to say it or not, they know what Harden does in the postseason. We've all seen it. Everybody's talked about it, about how he doesn't show up in the big games. But in the same breath, it's a team sport. Norman Powell, what you going to do in the big game? Bogdanovich, what you going to do in the big game? Ben Simmons, can we get anything out of you? Like, it's other pieces on that team that could have stepped up, that could have intensified the defense. Like I said, they came out game seven and got punched in the mouth. They let Denver jump on them early, get the crowd involved, get the momentum, and it was a wrap early.
Is there a move that you think they can make in the offseason that would bolster their roster?
I definitely you would assume go get a wing piece. I mean, you lose PG, but I mean, Norman Powell's, he's okay, but I mean, we need another star. He's no star. Especially Bradley if you're going to keep Harden. So it's like, at this point, you just got to keep the veteran squad and just make one last push for it at this point. This going to be your last run. Go get another veteran, whether that's KD. I don't know what you have to give up to get KD now. But if you were able to get somebody like that, that can come in, you know what they can do, what KD can do in the playoffs. He's not going to disappear like Harden. He's somebody who you can give the ball to at any moment and say, go get a bucket. He's shown to become a better defender defensively in previous years. So, I mean, shoot, go trade some bench pieces. Yeah, you probably ain't going to have no bench. But, hey, go try to make one last push at this thing. Go try to get a wing player that you know can get a bucket. And if Harden decides that he doesn't want to show up, all right, we got KD and Kawhi.
Yeah, but the problem with that, though, is I think that's the Phoenix model that I think a lot of teams are growing weary of. Because, like you said, there's nobody that you can clearly just say, unless you give up Zubac, but there's no player besides that you can say, okay, Phoenix, here you go for KD. I feel like the move probably would be for Bradley Beal because they want to get rid of him. But if you do a KD, you're going to have to give a ton of picks, maybe two or three, and maybe some of your bench. And we've seen that model does not work with three stars that don't mesh well together in Phoenix. So it's like, do I risk my future on this team when the West is still?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Or do I still sacrifice some of my future with a star and then have leverage in the future with still picks and young pieces?
Well, let's just look at the Clippers' history. Let's not forget they had SGA.
They did.
They already blew their future. What future? Like I said, bro, they are a team full of veterans at this point. Like I said, you make one last run next year, and then just blow it up. They're an old team. What young pieces do they have? You can't name one young piece that they have.
Nah, I can't. But Zubac, the thing is, you make a run next year, and you don't. What if it crashes out? Now you have a bunch of players. But you're going to have, if you sign KD, you're going to have a bunch of old players and no picks. You're stuck.
LA is attractive free agent market.
And knowing them, they're probably going to sign Kawhi, I mean, KD to another contract and Kawhi, and it's like, I don't know. I knew this was going to happen.
They got to find a way to get younger, man. They got to find a way to get younger. But yeah. My thing is it going to happen this year? I doubt it. I mean, you still got Kawhi under contract. You still got James under contract, so make one last push for it and go from there and hope Kawhi stays healthy. Once again, health. Like I said, if Kawhi's healthy all season, especially the way he played when they returned, if they can get that Kawhi all season, they possibly could have been, you know, two or three seed for real. easily. And that changes the matchups.
But I feel like we've been doing for the past six, maybe five seasons, we've been doing that with Kawhi. If. Like, yes, we all agree. Game two, like, that was the Kawhi we all knew and loved. But that if is the biggest question mark. But what about this? What if you just sacrifice it and say, hey, we're going to start over and talk to Houston, get some of their young pieces and trade Kawhi?
Who are you hoping to get, though? When you say young pieces, who do you want? If you're giving up Kawhi, who do you want?
If I'm giving up Kawhi, but see, that's the thing with him, his injury history. I don't know. If you could get Jabari Smith, Reed Shepard, and a pick, you wouldn't take it? Because you're not getting Tarian Eason. You're not getting Sengun. I know how you feel about Jalen Green.
I know how we feel about Jalen Green, but like Jalen Green low-key would be like the only person that I would probably.
So Jalen Green and Jabari, you wouldn't take it?
Is Harden going too?
No, it would still be Harden on the roster. You would be trading Kawhi. But now you have Harden who will give you plenty of regular season production, and you got young talent you can build around.
So you're fine with building around Jabari Smith, who lost his starting spot, and Jalen Green, who
I mean, you is
overrated in some people's opinion.
I think that's the best that you can do in terms of the situation that you're in now, because the Houston Rockets want to win now, and I think that if they bolster their roster with Kawhi Leonard, in addition to all that talent, they're happy. And from the Clippers standpoint, yeah, you can say what you want, but like, you know, Jalen Green had a couple of great games this season, and Jabari Smith, even if he was coming off the bench, I think he's still a starter. I just think with what they were trying to do, it made more sense to go Sengun and Steven Adams. And I think off the bench, Tyron Eason just provided too much energy and defensive presence. And I think Jabari Smith was still a guy on the roster where it's like, all right, he can still give you a team at least 18.
All right, what 18 if you- What if we went out east though, and we went to go get somebody like a Neem Hart or Benedict Mathurin from the Pacers?
So my thing is with and for Kawhi or James.
For Kawhi possibly. I feel like those are better like building blocks for a team than Jalen Green like, and
I personally wouldn't do it. I think Nembhard is a decent two alongside Tyrese, but I think he would thrive more in where he can have the ball in his hands. And see, the thing with Benedict is, like, he came off the bench for the Pacers, like, even though he's a solid piece, but I'm still taking that Jabari Smith, Jalen Green. I think they have a little bit more upside than them.
The Clippers definitely got to find a way to get younger, though. I think that's going to be – I don't know if they addressed that this offseason. I mean, they probably could. I don't know what their cap situation looks like this offseason, but if they're able to steal somebody that's maybe looking for a bigger role, that could be a home, specifically like a three, a small forward type player, right? Because you still have Harden and Powell in the backcourt, right? And then you got Big Zoo and Kawhi, 5 and 4. So, really, they got to fill that three hole. They can fill that small forward position, add some reliable bench pieces, and hope Kawhi stay healthy. Once again, health. Like we need Kawhi to be healthy. He's a big part of this.
That's real. All right, let's keep going. I think we were waiting to talk about this series. The Luka Lakers. Luka and LeBron led Lakers lost to AD and the Timberwolves. I think you called this one, right? You had Timberwolves?
I don't think I did. Okay. I don't think I did. I think you did. Because you were talking about how them boys ain't had no fear of Bron.
Yeah.
I think you had chosen.
Yeah, I honestly thought this was going seven, but this went quicker than I thought. And like I told you, bro, AE does not fear none of them legends. He does not care about the names. I feel like he wanted the Lakers. He wanted to prove something. And, you know, I was asleep on a lot of the rest of the Timberwolves roster, but, like, man, like, even this past game that, you know, Timberwolves knocked them off, man, if we could have had that his whole career, we would have had a different conversation about Rudy. And I mean, shout out to the Timberwolves because, you know, now that I'm seeing how they played against Luka, it'd be interesting to see game one of the Warriors, but they got a favorable path because if they can knock out the Warriors early, I think, you know, whoever wins at the top with the Thunder and Nuggets, I still think they match up well with both teams. But before we kind of jump into the predictions, man, talk to me about that series and how you were feeling. We'll start with the Timberwolves and then we'll kind of dive into the Luka Lakers.
Yeah, man. Like you said, AE a dog, man. Whether he want to be or not, he in that conversation for face of the league.
Yeah.
He don't back down from nobody. He want all the smoke. He gonna play 110% when he out there, and his teammates gonna follow suit. Like, I think having somebody like that on your team is just like inspiring, bro. Like, you see this man going at it with legends, like you said, like last year with KD, he going at him, not backing down. He going at it with Bron, not backing down. Like, that's inspiring to see, bro. And he young, bro. Like, this team young. Like, Jaden McDaniels, like 24. And he had some big games, too. So, shout out to Jaden McDaniels, not just on the defensive end, but showing he could also score, too. Like, he had some big game scoring. Shout out to Julius Randle as well, former Knick. Showed up in the playoffs. He, like you said, last episode, he's been playing good, playing defense. Rudy, getting it done. Shout out to Naz Reid too, man. I don't know what his future looks like, but he need to be starting somewhere. I don't know if he's taking somebody role in Minnesota or he gonna look to move and go somewhere else in free agency. But that man needs to be starting somewhere. He's not no career six man, like. Let this man cook. Let this man get started minutes. Let him go. Let him free. And let him hoop. Because he's a high-level hooper.
Yeah, no, I agree, bro. And I feel like, honestly, like AE, the natural, like, X-factor of this game. I mean, of this series. But low-key, man, Jaden McDaniels, what he showed in this whole series, like, I feel like what we're talking about, Amen and Asar, the reason that they're going to get paid is because everybody's looking at what Jaden McDaniels is doing, like not even just this year, but what he's been doing in the past. And the way he was able to lock Luka up, it's like he's not only able to play elite defense, but he's now able to contribute offensively. And I think that this is really a scary roster. And I feel like, you know, what we were talking about with the Grizzlies, this should show you why you should keep your coach. Because I feel like this is really about continuity, what they were able to do with Chris Finch. Obviously, they got disappointed last season, and I feel like a lot of people were saying, oh, they need to change coaches with Chris Finch. And it's like, no, I feel like everybody knows each other on that roster. They were comfortable with each other. And the Lakers, you know, like we'll talk about later, there was a lot of instability because everybody's trying to fill each other out. You know, they had some clear holes. But I feel like this Timberwolves team is put together well. And even adding DiVincenzo and Randle, I'm glad that they weren't trying to go star heavy this offseason. They got some solid players that can just contribute in games like this, where it's like, you know, if there is foul trouble with Naz Reid, I can expect Julius Randle to pick up the slack, right? And they had a lot of pick up the slack guys on their roster, and I feel like that's the kind of team that I feel like can make it far because AE now doesn't have to go and get 40 points every game. That he can get, you know, 22, 23 points a game, and they can still be competitive. And I feel like for a lot of the later games in the series, they were just trying to keep it close with the Lakers. Because they said, if we keep it close in the fourth, we can, you know, jumpstart. Everybody's on it. And we can make it, you know, we can make a run late in the fourth quarter. And I feel like they're feeling a lot of teams out like that, where it's like they don't have to necessarily blow teams out in order to win. They can keep it close and then pull it out, you know, at the end of the game. So, man, shout out to the Timberwolves, man. So, next, we'll go to the Lakers because, you know, everybody at the beginning of the season, you know, was confused about what was going to go on with Luka. I mean, with LeBron and AD. Obviously, we know in the middle of the season, they made that big trade for Luka. And everybody was everybody was blaming Nico. Everybody saying, you know, Nico sucks. Nico needs to get fired. But a lot of the things that Nico was saying appeared to, you know, be evident in the series alone. So tell me a little bit about, you know, how you feel about the Lakers as a whole and just with this team currently put together. You know, it seemed like a bad matchup, but did you see any more glaring holes outside of them needing rim protection?
Yeah, outside of the rim protection, man, just like we talked about all season and like everybody's talked about all season, it's like outside of Luke and LeBron, who's going to step up? Who's going to step up and carry that load on the offensive end? So they definitely got to figure out the right pieces. I know that was a midseason trade getting Luka, but definitely you have to find the right pieces that fit around him, that complement him as a player, whether that's on the defensive end or the offensive end. Because like LeBron said, Luka's the future. Like that was a move for the future. So you have to build around Luka, get the right pieces. So find the shooters, find the wing defenders that can help them out outside of the rim protection. So that was probably the biggest thing. And we saw LeBron go down in game five, but he getting up there. He might, if he decides to come back, we don't know. Probably only got like a year, two, three, maybe. Left, we gotta see what that looks like, what that future looks like for the Lakers, building around Luka. So
your common mantra about these old people need to go, does this apply to LeBron in this instance right here?
Hey man, I ain't gonna disrespect Bron like that. Bron can leave whenever he want to leave, man. Hey Bron, I don't want no smoke with you, bro. I'm not Stephen A. I don't want no smoke with you, bro. We good, bro. Whenever you're ready, hey, that door is right there, brother.
All right.
Bro, okay, he's still averaging 25, bro. Like, stop playing, bro. He 40, bro, averaging 25. We ain't never seen that before.
Yes, but.
Ain't no but. He averaging 25 at 40, bro.
Yes. I'm a butt. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know if LeBron can be a max player as the number two and win a championship anymore. I'm not saying LeBron's not great. LeBron still shows greatness. All I'm saying is for the Lakers' aspirations of getting to an NBA Finals and winning the NBA Finals, we know that Luka is not going to play defense. LeBron, I don't know athletically if he's going to be the same at 40 and 41 that he was at 25 and 26. Naturally, that's just age. It's okay. But with him on the max contract, with Luka going to sign a max contract this offseason, I just don't know if it's feasible for them to go and build a roster around both of these guys when there's clear holes that I believe that you could consider moving off of. Looking and inquiring with LeBron and seeing if any team wants him and seeing if that were better fit than going into the offseason.
So you say I would trade Brian.
I wouldn't say trade. I would say I'll pick up the phone and I would consider it depending on the offer. Because my thing is, yeah, give him the last dance, give him the reunion tour, but the same problems that you had this season, it could even become more evident next season. We just expect LeBron to just be great next season, but it's like, the way that Father Time works, it don't just like quietly creep up on you. Sometimes it can be just abrupt and it's like, oh, okay, he's getting a little bit older. And I don't want that for Bron. I personally believe Bron is the GOAT. But when I look at this season, and we talked about the injury, how when he got injured, that team just was like, I don't know if they're going to get far. And we just expected him to be just 25-year-old Bron, and that's not fair to him at 41. So I'm just saying, it's like, I would just consider all options and say, hey guys, this is Luka's team. We've established that, but we know because of Luka's lack of defense that we need a little bit more to bolster our roster. That's all I'm saying.
All right, question. Because it sounds like two things that you said right there. Okay. You say you don't need to be on the max, and you said you would pick up the phone to entertain offers. Why not just take a pay cut?
Yeah, if he's willing to do that, then fine. But I mean, Bron doesn't deserve it.
Two, to your point of picking up the phone, Bron ain't going anywhere.
Absolutely.
So whether you pick up the phone or not, the only other spot you're probably going is probably Cleveland. He not going nowhere else, bro.
So you
picking up the phone, you only calling a couple of teams. Because Bron ain't going just anywhere. You ain't sending Bron to Sacramento. You ain't sending Bron to Portland. Bron ain't going to Houston. Like I said, bro, if he decides to come back, he has one, at most 3 years left. Probably not that. Bro, I said it earlier. Don't make that face. I said it earlier, bro. Don't make that face. Because you must have missed it when I said it earlier. Clearly, you must have missed it
It's like crazy when you said it. Yeah, like three?
I said at most three.
I know, but
he's different, bro. He different. We ain't seen nothing like him before. He different. He not just going anywhere, though, bro. He not just going anywhere. So I think he should probably take a pay cut. I agree with you. He probably should take a pay cut. How much of a pay cut to actually bring in some help? How much is that? Like, how much is he losing out on? Because, like you said, they definitely have some holes on that roster. Like, they need help. Like, maybe the three-star model is not it. Do you move Austin Reeves? Do you move Hachimura? Like, are you moving these role players to try to get either better role players? Like, I just feel like you have to build around Luka and Bron. Like, regardless of how many years Bron got left, like, unless you're just hoping he retired. But even if you retire, you still got to have the right pieces around Luka. Is AR the right piece around Luka? Is Hachimura the right piece around Luka? Outside of that, bro, like, nobody on this roster is, like, standing out to me for real. Outside of Austin Reeves and Hachimura, it's like, bro, everybody else is replaceable for real.
Well, I think if you want to make a significant move, Austin Reeves has to be the piece that you have to include.
But once again, what are you looking for? If you think Bron should retire or take a pay cut or move on, go somewhere else, and Reeves is a part of a deal, what pieces do you bring in to surround Luka with? Because at that point, you about to be sorry. You got Luka and bums, essentially. So you banking on getting something good for Reeves. You banking on it. You banking on getting another star. Unless you're going to have one star in Luka trying to do everything and hope the role players are good enough to play their role.
Okay.
That's my thing. You literally have Luka and Bron, who are your two stars, who are your two leaders, the only ones averaging more than 20 points. And you want Bron to go off in the pasture and go ahead and go home so it don't look bad on his legacy. Cool. Okay. Who replacing Bron? Who replacing Bron production?
He's literally the greatest player in the league. Like, there's nobody.
Okay, but if he's on the downward slope, who replaces his production? You banking on AR to come in and drop 20, 24, 25?
No.
Are you signing somebody? Are you going to get, I don't know, Bradley Beal or KD? Like, I feel like you have to pair another star with Luka. I don't think you're going to win with one star in Luka. And I don't know if Austin Reeves is that star.
Hear me out.
So if Bron is gone, what are you bringing in? Go ahead. Floor is yours.
Hear me out. Don't clip this up. Like, I already see the eyes going.
Oh, no, I'm clipping now.
But I have a trade in my head. I just don't know how you would get it done. Because I would if you keep Bron, could you package up picks? I don't know their pick situation. Package up picks, a boatload of picks, connect and AR, and go after Embiid.
See, my only thing with that is, once again, like we talked about last episode, are you willing to go after an injured player? A player who you know has injury history.
You have to, because you gotta hope next season. We already know the narrative surrounding Embiid. It's no more Embiid versus Jokic. You know Philadelphia's ready to move off from him because another injury. So you gotta hope that he's willing to come to LA and just rebrand and just reframe his image. And we know Embiid at his height is still a dominant player. And he, you know, I don't necessarily think this is the answer, but he gives you something down low where you can have a little bit of rim protection where the guards aren't necessarily worried about people beating them. They have Embiid behind them. But anyway, I feel like that's the only move that we know that Daryl Morey wants to go with small ball. We've seen it with Houston, and I feel like with him having Maxey as an emerging star, they probably bring PG back. You have AR, who is still going to get you 23, 24 a game. And then, like, say what you want about Connect, but people loved him at the beginning of the season, and you got picks. So I feel like for both sides, it's like, hey, Embiid, if you don't work out, this is probably your last stretch. And for everybody besides Luka, this is your last stretch. That's the only major trade I can see working. Otherwise, you still don't have enough with all the trades that's going in my mind.
And one thing that I will say about the Lakers, too, like, just, like, looking at that roster, right? You talked about Connect just now. But, like, why didn't he play? Why didn't Vanderbilt play? Like, it's several people on this roster. Jackson Hayes, they benched him. Like, it's several people on this roster that could have played a little bit more, that probably could have helped out in some way, shape, or form. And JJ Redick decided to go in a different direction. So, like,
yeah,
JJ, what we doing, man? You can't just rely on Luka and Bron to put the cape on, bro. You got to use the pieces that you got.
Yeah, I didn't even get, you know, I don't know if it's this past game or the game before, but he put Maxey Kleber in before he put Jackson Hayes. And so I don't know if, like, we aren't in practice and we aren't in the locker room, so we don't know what's going on. But it seemed like he would have been a better fit. But my thing is, I know JJ probably hears the same thing we do. I just feel like with Jackson Hayes, there's probably something we don't know. And New Orleans moved on from him. It seems like the Lakers are going to move on from him, because that would have been the ideal stretch. He seems like not the same player, but he seems like a lively type of player where he could have gone and done the pick and roll. You know, he would have been a lob through it, but if they didn't even trust that, I'm not even sure if he is, you know, knows the X's and O's. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I'm not sure. I just feel like with next season, we don't understand that at the beginning, before they traded AD, AD was cooking. Like, AD was not terrible this season. And with Luka, the same thing we're talking about, injury history with other players, we got to say the same thing. And we're just hoping, like, Bron can put on the cape one more time. And that's not fair to Bron.
Yeah. He's getting up there in age. And like you said, the health with Luka is definitely a concern. Definitely a concern. It's going to be an interesting offseason for both of these LA teams, man. It could possibly look totally different, or it could very much well look the same.
Yeah, and then, like you were saying, like,
that boy Mike going through it, boy. Just unplug the mic at this point, boy.
But, like, for Luka, it's like, in the case that Bron does retire or, you know, chooses to move on, let's say not even this season or next season, it's like, what we've been trying to experiment, what is the best fit for Luka? It's like, do you build Dallas again? you know, it's like, what is that going to look like moving forward? It's going to be an interesting question.
Do you think he needs to change the way he plays?
Yeah, he's got to, because everything you said last pod with Jalen Brunson, you can say the same thing about Luka. I think Luka gives you a little bit more with his size, you know, being able to get rebounds and get assists. But the problem is, like, Luka's injury history and his stamina. I just feel like, you know, he needs to get in shape. And I feel like the way that teams are going to continue to pick on him defensively, it creates a liability. You have to have 3-and-D guys and you have to have bigs. There's no way around it. And I feel like if he chooses to get in shape and play defense, it makes the roster a little bit more flexible. So you don't have to invest in a bunch of bigs and a bunch of defensive guys, because then you don't have any offense. So it's like, it's just a heavy mix, but it starts with him and changing his, not style of play, but changing his body so that he can better adapt to different situations. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I don't know, man. We've seen a big Harden succeed. We've seen somebody like Jokic, who's not the most athletic or the quickest, succeed. I feel like Luka can do it, bro. You can hide people on defense, bro. Like, we've seen the Lakers utilize a zone. I don't think they used it much against the Timberwolves. But if all else fails, go zone. Zone teams up, force them to hit threes. And hopefully he can contest at a fast enough pace. If they are choosing to go at him like Minnesota did. I mean,
yeah,
I think that's probably the biggest question mark. But, I mean, shoot, you look at the Timberwolves, they've built around AE. You got Jaden McDaniels, 3-and-D type guy, a solid veteran point guard in Conley, who's not asked to do much of anything. You got Julius Randle. You got a defensive stopper in Gobert. Try to recreate that. Maybe that's a successful model that you can follow. Not to say that Luka is AE. But you know, from an offensive standpoint, just looking at it strictly offensively, like, go get you a Jaden McDaniels type player that can knock down a three, and maybe. This is my thinking. You got Jared Vanderbilt. That's your Jaden McDaniels type player. He didn't even play. You still have Bron. Bro, y'all supposed to compete, bro. Y'all lost in 5 games, bro.
So what's your grade for J.J. Redick this season?
C. He's average. I think a lot of people had them in that, what, 2 or 3 spot coming into the season. I mean, shoot, they got the 3 seed. Good job. But, I mean, and granted, he probably didn't have anything to do with that AD trade. So I truly want to know, like, when stuff like that happens, like, coach, I need your honest opinion, bro. How do you feel? Because he wasn't expecting to come into the season coaching Luka. And he actually liked Luka, though. That's the thing. He's a fan of Luka. So if you're a fan of Luka, you know what he brings. You know what you're getting. Everybody know he's a defensive liability. If you don't have the pieces around him, and we know they tried to trade for Mark Williams. It didn't go through. So they were hoping to have some type of rim protection. So, I mean, if you're J.J. Redick, shoot, go get a rim protector in the offseason and get the right pieces to fit around Luka and run it back. See how it is.
Yeah, so my thing is, I think they knew. I think he wanted Luka. I think Brian wanted Luka. I feel like the thing that messed them up was that Mark Williams trade going to the wayside. Because the thing is, like, I believe they were high on Mark Williams, which Mark Williams is a decent piece. But once that trade didn't go through, bringing Connect back into the locker room, I feel like that's part of the reason some of them didn't play. Because I just feel like they had a plan in their head. It went by the wayside. And I don't think that Connect nor Jackson Hayes merged back well. Because essentially you're saying that if Jackson Hayes would have still been on the roster with Mark Williams would have been starting over Jackson Hayes. That's what my assumption is. And I just feel like there was just too many dominoes that didn't fall that caused a lot of rifts in the locker room and created a lot of divide. That's my only speculation. Because my only thing is, like, Connect before the trade, Kinect was hooping. Yeah. I don't see why he didn't all of a sudden stop hooping. So there had to be some clear philosophical changes that went on that they didn't agree with. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting this offseason.
And if they can integrate him back into the locker room and get him in good graces, if that is the case, he's a good 3-and-D type option.
Yeah.
Like, he can hoop. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think AR is definitely going to be a big question mark moving forward. I know they were probably hesitant on moving him before in previous seasons, but you probably going to have to consider that.
Yeah.
You probably going to have to consider that because what's his ceiling? Like, is he going to be a guy that can come in if Bron leaves or when Bron leaves? Can he be a guy that can be a second star? Can he be that second star type player? Because that's what they're going to need him to do if they plan on holding on to him. Clearly, you see something in him to say he could be a star in this league. So do you consider moving him if he's not a number two type option?
It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if Luka and Reeves is getting you a championship. And it's going to be a Reeves at a different price point, because once they have to pay him, they're going to be paying him like he's a one, right? Just because they want to keep him. So I don't know. That's a good question. Got a whole offseason to talk about it. Let's talk about the last game that happened yesterday. So I was wrong. I'll go ahead and put that out there. I did have it going seven, but I thought the Rockets were going to pull through. I think the Rockets have a good team. Not great yet. But I think this was Styles make fights, and this Warriors team is a very interesting team because of age. And I wanna talk about the Warriors first, because I know we have some strong opinions with the Rockets. So talk to me about your thoughts about the series as a whole. And I want to focus strictly on the Warriors right now before we dive into the Rockets. How did you feel about how the Warriors performed throughout the series? And just moving forward, what do you think they can do?
I don't know why you thought the Rockets was going to be able to get it done in game seven. You got a veteran squad on the other side, bro. The vet showed up. Draymond, Jimmy, playoff Jimmy, Steph, Buddy Hill showed up last night. Buddy Hill had like 22 in the first half. I said, my goodness, let him cook. He was going crazy. But, hey, man, shout out to the vets, man. The vets got it done. The vets got it done, man. Steph Curry, like I said, Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy. He showed up all series, man. He showed up all series. And it's hard to bet against that man, Steph Curry, in a game seven situation. I think they showed his son after game six. They talked about his son was sick. You know they wouldn't lose a game seven, bruh. You know they wouldn't lose a game seven, bruh. Steph wasn't going for that. And he didn't even have to go crazy for real last night.
Yeah, because nobody expected Buddy Hill to get 33 points. Nobody expected it.
Hey, he was cooking first half, man. He couldn't miss.
Yeah, this is what everybody expects from Jimmy. Like, I know Miami's looking like, dang it. Like, this is playoff Jimmy. And fortunately for the Warriors, I think, you know, he was able to come back from that groin hip injury, I think, you know, well. And they're going to provide some interesting matches for the Timberwolves. But, you know, also shout out to Draymond, man. Like, because, you know, Sengun was still hooping, but I think he was able to tame that defense a lot. And, you know, Draymond sets the tone defensively. And I think the Warriors defense really looked good this series. I was not expecting them to rebound the way they did, even with Steven Adams and Sengun in. But they were able to rebound, get the ball out, and they just seemed to be real active on the defensive end. Some of that's to Jimmy's credit. But I think a lot of that is with the pace, even at this age, that Draymond still sets. And to see him go this long and be this good, it's really just a testament to, like, who he is as a player. So, like, a lot of times we talk about the Hall of Fame performance and, like, him deserving to be the Hall of Fame because of that final stretch that they had, the Warriors and the Cavs and whatnot. But I actually look at series like this where it's like, man, they don't have Draymond. I don't know if necessarily they're getting past the Rockets, because the Rockets had energy, the Rockets had athleticism, but Draymond was able to match that, and he doesn't back down from anybody. I feel like he set the tone for everybody else defensively. So, and shout out to him. And Steph, you know, bona fide Hall of Famer. Like, this man is, this is why, you know, he is elite, you know, because he was double teamed most of the series. And even the game before the playoffs started, the Rockets played the Warriors, and not him and Ime were going at it, because Ime thought he had it figured out, you know, going to blitz him early once he passes half court, force the ball out of his hands. But I feel like Steph, you know, set the tone by also cutting, running, getting his shots, and keeping the defense guessing. And like we talked about with the Knicks series, it's like that's the kind of offense that works, because Steph may never get the ball on a possession, but the defense has to worry about where is Steph. And why, by you thinking about that, you're missing out on your matchup. And so it's like that decoy that was being used, it speaks to his greatness, but it also speaks to Steve Kerr's plan. And even this last game, when I was watching the highlights, you know, him putting Kevon Looney in didn't necessarily stop the offensive rebounding production from the Houston Rockets, but it tamed it. It's like you had another big body out there that was experienced. And I think that the moment was too big for the Rockets. And like you said, I thought the energy and athleticism was going to get the Warriors, send the Warriors home. But, you know, that age, that veteran presence, and just their resiliency is why the Warriors, you know, are the Warriors, essentially.
And we'll talk about it with the Rockets, but from the Warriors' perspective, right, you slow the game down a little bit. Like, you force Houston to play in the half court. You don't allow them to get out and run and transition and use that athleticism, like you said. So I think that was a big part of it as well, controlling the pace of play, trying not to allow Houston to get fast break opportunities, allowing them to, you know, not necessarily turn the ball over, limit their turnovers, and keep them out of transition. I thought that was big. Like you mentioned, with Draymond defensively, but even Jimmy defensively, right, holding it down, trying to slow down Amin Thompson, who had a great series. But like I said, like the pace of play is going to play a factor in the playoffs. And moving forward for the Rockets, we gotta see how they adjust to that moving forward, right? Like, they have to figure out a half-court offense moving forward.
Yeah, let's go ahead and segue to that, because for the Rockets, man, I thought they had enough energy that was going to surround Jalen Green. I thought Jalen Green was going to be the difference. I thought that he was going to at least give you 20 a night, and they were just going to have too much for the Warriors to keep up with. But we saw some games where he had 5, he had 8 points, he had 7 points. It's like, all right, Jalen, when are you going to show up? And it seemed like he never did. I was listening to Teague and them boys this morning, and Teague was just talking about how Jalen Green looked scared throughout the series. And I think, you know, in a way that he's right. And like you said, we were talking offline, how, you know, Buddy can't shoot. And they wanted him to, you know, shoot jump shots. And they tried to bottom him up in the paint, and that caused a lot of problems for him. And so I think for stars in this league, you have to be more than one-dimensional. If they take away option one, can you still dominate on option two? And I think for Jalen Green, he was so reliant on his athleticism that once that was shot, it seemed like he was just lost, like his entire game went away. And I think for Sengun, he is a decent piece. And I think Amin Thompson showed up this series. So in terms of moving forward, I think Ime and the rest of the leadership team have to make some tough decisions in regards to Jalen Green, because you just paid him and Sengun. And now, you know, you look in the future, like, do you go after a KD, thinking about in the future you're going to have to pay Amin, a max? It's like, what is the direction of the Rockets, and how do you think they fare throughout the series?
Yeah, like you said, it's going to be interesting moving forward. You mentioned KD, and that was a big conversation previous off seasons of if they should, you know, continue to build around these young stars or go try to get a veteran in like a KD, right? So you got Van Vliet, veteran guard, alongside Jalen Green, and Van Vliet had a good series too. Like, let's not forget about him. He was out there hooping. He definitely won a couple of games when Jalen Green was not showing up. Like, Van Vliet was out there hooping, getting 20 plus a game. So shout out to Van Vliet. But like you said, with Jalen Green, man, he has to get a consistent jump shot. That one game that he erupted where he had 38, he shot 8 of 18 from 3. So, I mean, it's there, but can you do it consistently? That's going to be the question moving forward. Can you be consistent in the, when your team needs you? He averaged 21 in the regular season. He averaged 13 this series. He had 7, 9, 8, 11, 12, and 8 last night. So those are just, what, 6 of the 7 games right there outside of the 38-point game that he erupted in game 2. So he has to figure out a way to be more efficient offensively. And like you said, go to those second and third options, counter moves when he can't get to the basket. Because he's going to see a number of defenders similar to Jimmy Butler, similar to Draymond, throughout the rest of his career. So he has to figure out a way to get buckets. And like you said, like Curry, move without the ball. He has to be a factor without the ball in his hands. Whether, like you said, cutting to the basket or even being a decoy. But I think him getting that jump shot is going to be, you know, the basis of him getting better as he moves forward.
So Sengun is the player that you build around moving forward?
I guess so. I guess so. And you got to think, too, like at one point it was they had Kevin Porter Jr. on the roster with Jalen Green. Don't forget about that. So I think like we talked about with Amen Thompson, like just getting it done on the defensive end, his athleticism, translating the offense. And we talked about it offline. Like he doesn't necessarily have an offensive bag, but like he was still getting 15 plus points. Amen Thompson. So once he truly gets a bag, if he can develop either somewhat of a jump shot or like some type of moves without the ball, it's going to be scary. And unlike Jalen Green, the man plays defense at a very high level.
Yeah, and guards the best player.
He's going to always stay on the court. And Sengun is baby Jokic. Sengun is baby Jokic. He do everything, bro. He can rebound, he can facilitate, and he can score. And we saw it took Draymond Green's best effort to try to slow him down. Like, that shows the caliber of player he is offensively. So, Sengun is the truth.
Yeah, and I feel like you said, Van Fleet, and even Dylan Brooks were the right veterans for this team. It really, like, this really showed it all came down to Jalen Green. Jalen Green gives you 18 more points tonight. I don't think this is close. I personally don't. And I think that's what everybody was banking on. And he even said that he played terrible. And for Jalen Green at this point, like, he's 22, so he still has a long runway in the league to go. But for Houston, being the number 2 seed in the West and losing to the number 7 seed, even though that was Golden State, that was disappointing. And I feel like they had championship aspirations. And the question now is, like, do you just wait for Jalen Green to, you know, take the leap? Or do you just make the move and include him in trades now? So,
yeah. And like you said, like he's still young, like 22. So I won't write him off just yet. Like you said, he averaged 21 in the regular season. So it's like he's like we talked about offline. He's no bum.
Yeah,
he's no bum. So I mean, I don't think it's fair to write him off of one bad series. And we've seen multiple players bounce back from a bad series before. So I wouldn't write him off necessarily yet. But like I said, there is room for improvement in him getting a jump shot. Like, I definitely think he needs to, this offseason, get with a trainer, whoever he wants to work with, get that jump shot. You got to drill shooting threes, different catch and shoot, off the dribble, step back, whatever it's going to be. Get in the gym, rep it out, however many reps you need to do to be locked in and be confident enough to take those shots and hit those shots when your team needs it.
Yeah. Would you rather be a GM right now? Okay, go ahead.
And like you said, like you talked about like the championship aspirations for this team, right? Like me personally, I wasn't sold on them boys going into the postseason, and especially having to match up with Golden State. In the first round, you can't bet against Steph. So I think it was a good learning experience for them. they could low-key run it back with this same roster. And like you said, if Jalen Green is the difference, if he shows up, they win this series. We're having a different conversation. I think this experience for all of them, not just Jalen Green, but Sengun, Van Vliet, Tari Eason, all of them boys, even Ime to an extent, it's going to help them for next season. They're going to know exactly what they need to do, who they need to perform. They're going to come back. They're going to come back ready. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Somebody brought this up today, but if you were a GM, would you rather be a GM of the Rockets right now or the Pistons?
I think it depends on like what you – I feel like there's a lot more question marks with the Rockets than it is the Pistons, and we just talked about it. They're the two seed, but they do have those vets. So it's like, do you keep Van Vliet on the roster? Do you keep Dylan Brooks on the roster? Do you go after a star and trade Jalen Green? Or do you, like I just mentioned, run it back with this same roster and hope that the experience that you had this year helps you and propels you to where you want to be in the postseason next year? I think for the Pistons, they have a very good young core. Similar type questions, right? Not necessarily the vets, but I think they have one position that's up for grabs. Replace Tobias Harris. You can get an upgrade with Tobias Harris. You're good to go. So to answer that question, I would probably say the Pistons. Once again, also, too, you got to think about the expectations. Houston was the two seed just now. So they're expecting, if not to be the two seed again, get that one seed. Expectations a little bit higher in Houston versus the Pistons, who were trash last year, had a 30-win turnaround this year. If you can make the playoffs again, cool.
Yeah, no, that's real. You're going to be celebrated just for making playoffs. And I think because at the beginning of the season, everybody was saying Cade or Jalen, but I don't think that's a question anymore. I think Cade has solidified himself as a star in this league. And I agree. I would take the Pistons, too, because you know what you got at least with Cade. Now I know I can build around Cade. I feel like even with Sengun can do it all. And I think you mentioned in the podcast earlier, it's easier to build around guards. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like for what the Pistons are trying to do, like Cade develops a jump shot, a lot of your answers can be quickly solidified. But I just feel like I can't unsee. No matter where Jalen Green goes after this, I can't unsee the series. I can't unsee it. And it's like, I need somebody who I know can at least get me 20. And I just feel like with the Rockets, there's a lot of pieces, but there's also a lot of questions around those pieces. Does Amin Thompson develop an offensive game this season? Does Tari Eason develop offensive game? Because I think he provides a lot of energy defensively, but it's like, can I get that same production offensively? Jabari Smith, what do you do with him? Is he a tweener? Do you play him at a three? Do you continue to get him off the bench at a four? And for Steven Adams, can you give me another year? And will he have that same kind of production this year? Or do you need to just sit him out so he can have production in the offseason, I mean, the postseason? And then the Van Vliet question. We talked offline. It's like, I know they stashed Reed Shepherd away in the G League, but you know, Reed Shepherd was a contributor like in college. Like he was a dog. And so like you said, Van Vliet's not coming off the bench. But I think with Van Vliet, the question is, there were times where he was very streaky as a shooter. And you're hoping that in their offensive production that they can get some, if Jalen Green doesn't give you it, can Van Vliet give you? And I just feel like with their roster, my biggest question is, do you keep him around for the veteran presence or do you bring Reed Shipper in and put everybody at the same timeline in terms of age? So I don't know. It's a lot of questions you got to answer in the offseason. And because you're going to have to start making decisions, you're going to have to see every option in the next couple of seasons, because once it gets time to pay people, you're going to have to pay everybody. And there's about two players on that roster where it's like, okay, do you give him a max or not, right? I'm thinking of Amin. Like, I think Sengun has already gotten paid. Jalen's already gotten paid. But the question is going to be with your Jabari, with your Tari Eason. they're going to probably get paid somewhere else. And do you match your contracts, right? So it's a bunch of questions, man. So I don't know.
And you talked about the veteran presence just now with Van Vliet and, of course, Dylan Brooks as well, but more so with Van Vliet, right? And you mentioned Reed Sheppard. So, like, if you are the Rockets, why not have Reed Sheppard up with the team? Maybe, like, do you not believe in Reed Sheppard? Like, why is he not being mentored by a Van Vliet or, you know, getting the opportunity to play in some of these moments? If you plan on moving on from, you know, Van Vliet, like, you already got a young guard here, bring him up, let him learn the ropes, get that experience, give him some more minutes. We saw it with, in a situation, once again, with the Timberwolves. You got Nikhil Alexander-Walker there, learning from Conley. I'm sure he probably wants to start, but yo, even though you're not starting, we're going to play you. You're going to be a significant role player for us. We're going to get you this experience. So it's like, why not put him in a situation like that and see what he can do?
Yeah, my only guess at that is, you know, Udoka wants veteran leadership, and you had to plug and play where you're going to insert those veterans in. And we know from the Celtics, like, Ime Udoka, he comes from a defensive culture. He wants defense. And even from college, that Reed's defense was the best, but I think he provided so much offensively and facilitated well that you were willing to deal with the lack of defense and even him as a liability. So I don't know if necessarily he wanted to make – thinking about the guards in the West, I don't know if he trusted Reed to lead a team, especially, you know, defensively. And I don't think Van Vliet is ever a liability on the defensive end. So it's like, with what he's trying to do, I don't know. That's my only guess, is that defensively Reed didn't provide the same production as Van Vliet.
Whatever happened to Cam Whitmore? But he's still on the Rockets, right?
Let me look it up. Mm-hmm. That's a name I forgot about.
Like, Brad don't show some flashes, bro. Like, he just don't play no better. Like,
oh, he's still there. But I mean, what the more like boss? I mean, once Ime has the roster in his mind, he doesn't really stray from it. Mm. Yeah, he's still there. He averaged 8 this season.
Interesting.
I mean, you got.
Go ahead.
I mean, like, even some names like Jashaun Tate, Aaron Holiday, but, like, they still got Cam Whitmore, Reed Sheppard. Like, their roster is solid. Like, I didn't know Jeff Green was still playing. I did not know that.
Hang it up, old man.
Yeah, they get the seller us. But, yeah, I don't know. So
it's going to be interesting offseason once again for the Rockets, because they are low-key a free agent destination. Free agents don't mind going there.
No state tax.
What'd you say?
I say no state tax. You're right.
Yeah. And then, like you said, they have veterans on the roster that they could possibly either move on from or run it back again. Like, and just hope Jalen Green does more in the playoffs. So we're going to see, man. It's gonna be an interesting offseason for them boys.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but is there anything, like, any other surprises in the Western Conference that you want to talk about, or anything that surprised you?
Not really. I think looking forward at these next couple of matchups, like you said, Timberwolves versus Warriors, that's going to be a good one. Jaden McDaniels is probably going to be guarding Steph. It's going to be interesting to see if, I assume, Jimmy Butler will probably be guarding Ant-Man. So that'll be an entertaining matchup if those two are paired up against each other. But it's going to come down again. Hey, hold up. Yo, we got Rudy versus Draymond.
Yep.
Yo, we got Rudy versus Draymond. Somebody get ejected.
Yeah, Rudy already scared. I can tell it right now. But okay, this is a series he can dominate. He can have a 27-24 game again with this roster with the Warriors. Yeah. He's got to come to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like Draymond intimidated a lot of people.
Yeah. They don't got nobody to check them. It's going to be interesting to see how that series plays out, man. The Timberwolves can make it to the Western Conference Finals again.
Yeah.
Will the Vets prevail again? Another series.
It's going to come down to tomorrow in game one, because my only problem with the Timberwolves is, like, there were moments in the Lakers series where I thought this should have been a 12-point game. And the Timberwolves just sticking around. The Lakers is just sticking around. And it's like, man, y'all going on running, but they only down six. And my thing with Steph is, like, Steph kind of, like, we saw fragments of Steph this series, but it's like we ain't seen Steph go off. Like 51 Steph, 42 Steph. And I don't know if that stay close strategy is going to work with the Warriors, who really thrive off of momentum.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see this being a very lopsided series where there are blowouts on both sides during the series.
Do you think the Nuggets have a chance versus the Thunder?
Yeah, I got the Nuggets. Well, I guess we're going here, but I got the Nuggets over the Thunder. Personally. I think this is going to show
the series. Man. It was something about the Nuggets. Like I said, man, the Clippers lost a lot of them games. A couple of them games, the Clippers lost. Like, it wasn't nothing necessarily that the Nuggets did to win them games. Clippers lost them games. They're here now. We move on. I got to see something from Jamal Murray, MPJ, Aaron Gordon. I know what Jokic going to give me. Are them other guys going to step up? And who checking SGA?
I mean, but I think it depends on strategy. It's like, do you just let SGA get his? And like I said with the Grizzlies series, can Chet, Jalen Williams step up? Because there's situations where he can get 40 and then it still be close. And this is the other thing. I will say this, and I got to give flowers where credit is due. I think the engine behind that team, this Nuggets team, is Russ. Like,
I was just about to mention that.
Russ, he goes 110% every game. And I feel like they could have easily just packed it in when Mike Malone got fired and the GM got fired. But I feel like Russ giving everything he got propelled everybody else to want to give everything they got. And that there was this play, I texted you about it, when he dunked the ball and hung on the rim just so he could get a tech, so he could tell, you know, the Clippers to get off the court. Like, that kind of energy is what gets people past series like this. Because look at the personality of Russ, and then they showed an image of James Harden and Kawhi on the bench just chilling. Man, they need that dog, and I think that Russ provides that. And I think that's going to really help them get through in this series, personally. I don't think it's going to be like a sweep, but I think it's going to be a dog fight, and Russ is built for moments like this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, me personally, like I said, man, I wanted the Nuggets to go home. They did Mike Malone dirty, man. Clippers should have packed them boys up, man. They didn't get the job done. But I'm with you, man. I definitely think the Nuggets – have a chance to win this series. Like I said about the Rockets, man, I didn't necessarily have the Thunder either as a championship type team. I mean, great regular season, but I got to see how they are in the playoffs, especially against a championship caliber team like the Nuggets. They got that championship pedigree, man. They know what it takes to win. Regardless of Mike Malone being done dirty, the players are still there, still playing at a high level. So we gonna see, man. I think it'll go six or seven games, but I think I'm gonna lean towards Jokic and the Nuggets, man. Two MVP front runners, two going at it.
Yeah. All right. I see. All right, man. So we got a lot more content to do, but we're gonna stop it here, man. We gave y'all what y'all asked for. Got the Western Conference first round covered. So we're going to go round by round. Some of the games and the Eastern Conference has already started. I think Boston is getting ready to play, probably playing right now. So we'll continue to do that content daily so that you can get the second round all the way to the NBA Finals. If you like the content, man, continue to tap in, man. Put comments in the chat. Put comments. We're on every social media that you can find. And let us know what you think. If you think we bogus, put we bogus, man. Give us your takes. Man, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Find somebody who doesn't know about Win a Shot and share this content with them, because we cover more than just basketball. We cover football and even the college sports. So we're basically on year round. I'm pretty sure Hundo and John are getting ready to start the WNBA content. So we got a bunch of new content coming at you live. So I appreciate you once again for tapping in for this long. And as we continue to go through the NBA Finals, to all the way to the NBA Finals, man, you'll get content daily from us. So appreciate the love, man. Peace.
Peace.